Listener observing reports of the 2024 April 8th solar eclipse on episode 418 of the Actual Astronomy Podcast. I'm Chris, and joining me is Shane. We are amateur astronomers who love looking up at the night sky, and this is for everybody who is out under the stars. No Patreon supporters this week, Shane. Frowny face.
Yeah, well, that happens sometimes, I guess. Yep.
Yeah. If you want to support us, we are on Patreon. We appreciate all those who continue to support us. Mm-hmm. Did you get any observing in this week, Shane? I know you did. I
was there. Yeah, yeah. So you and I observed the partial eclipse on Monday, April 8th, and I did a little additional solar observing after that date as well. But I really enjoyed the partial. It was a lot of fun. Mike stopped by. Brad, who I work with, stopped by. My wife came out for some views, and you know, for that time of the year, I think we really had quite nice weather. You know, it was nice and warm in the sun.
Yeah.
For the first half, there wasn't much for cloud. And, you know, we had some sort of typical cumulus build around, you know, the lunchtime hour, which is normal for our region. It just
is pretty common. Yeah.
Heating hits, that happens.
Yep.
But, you know, it was just, I don't know. I guess somewhat lucky that the cloud really didn't interfere. Like, I think we maybe lost about 10 minutes of total eclipse time to the cloud. So overall, I think we really lucked out. I'm a little disappointed we missed the final, you know, stage of the eclipse due to the cloud, but it was still a lot of fun. And, you know, we were primarily observing with hydrogen alpha, although I did have the white light scope going with a green filter in it. There was a few sunspot groups that were kind of interesting, but I think for me, one of the highlights was, this was towards the latter stages of the eclipse. The moon, you know, as it moved across the face of the sun, exposed a very large prominence that a number of people have been talking about, you know, in various posts and emails and things like that. But at around, depending on your orientation, like 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. on the sun, there was a bit of a prominence that looked like an arch that was quite large. It's kind of in between 4 to 5 Earth diameters was how big that thing was.
Wow.
And a lot of people saw that naked eye during totality.
Yeah.
Or through binoculars.
People sketch it and send in those sketches. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I really enjoyed the eclipse. And, you know, even though we only had a 40 or 41% partial here in Regina, it was still a lot of fun to watch the moon go by and just spend a lot of time looking at the sun.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool. I was able to do, as you saw, about 8 sketches of it as it progressed its way along. My sketch plan wasn't exact. And I think I planned to be there a few minutes earlier. So I was like drawing circles on my sheet just as sort of first contact was made. So I missed the first few minutes, but my original plan was to do 10 or 13 sketches and I ended up doing 8. Sort of haphazardly drawn all over this page. And it was neat though. It was really neat to see all that.
Mm-hmm. And was this your first time sketching the sun in H alpha?
No, not really, but it's been a while. I'll put it that way. Yeah. Okay. I was really looking forward to it. And thank you so much for that. Appreciate the opportunity. It was awesome to be able to spend that much time. That's the most sketching I've done. Cause I think I sketched for 50 minutes out of the 2 hours I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. You spent a lot of time sketching.
Yeah. I was a little sore the next day, but that's all right. Yeah.
Is there anything unique about sketching in H alpha compared to like nighttime sketching?
Don't need a red light.
Yeah. That helps.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. No, it's not. It's surprisingly not that different. Like strangely enough, it's not. I had to put sunscreen on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it wasn't all that different. So, and sort of transitioning into our emails from listeners, Mr. Richard sent us an amazing image. He was in the calendar last year and he did a great shot of his probably like 30% eclipse from Alberta. That was really nice. I like that.
Yeah, it was a really nice image. It was in hydrogen alpha and he did an amazing job to catch the hydrogen alpha detail. Beautiful, beautiful image.
Yeah. Gene wrote in, well, I've already written a report, but you asked me for one. in your last email. Sometimes you Canadians are overly polite, so I don't know if you're interested or not, but here goes. My plan was to go to Cherry Springs. I live in Philadelphia, so it's about a 6-hour drive. Got there 4 days beforehand and figured, I'd have some good dark sky observing under the dark skies of Cherry Springs. Then, based on the weather, head out elsewhere. So it was cloudy for 2 days and nights. I didn't even buy a new telescope. Ha ha ha. Cherry Springs was a beautiful getaway anyway, with lots of outdoor walking. And I spent a good deal of time with the dogs and learning about chainsaws, which is one of his new hobbies. Very cool. I've been learning to track the weather and realized I had close to a zero chance of seeing the eclipse anywhere near me. So I found a hotel in Vermont. And because of the electric car, it was going to be an 11-hour drive. I picked Newport on the northern edge because it was closest center point. Meanwhile, just as I booked it, Cherry Springs seemed to acknowledge my dedication with the spread of clouds. The sky was the deepest black I've ever seen, and it looked like glitter in the sky. I'm not exaggerating what I tell you. I had trouble finding constellations because everything was so bright. Finally found the Big Dipper and looked through my scope, but the views from my eyes were so breathtaking, I put the scope away and just looked naked eye. Had to get to sleep anyway with the long ride ahead the following day. Spent pre-eclipse day driving and looking at the weather. Looked like it wasn't going to be so good in Newport. For added fun, my brother decided to drive his electric car the 10 hours with his two daughters loaded aboard. And they end up having to wait in these huge lineups to charge the car. We found a tiny store and I spotted a crowd where one person had a Teleview 85 with an Edelon attached. So figured that was a good spot. I was armed with my small refractor Beta Solar film. I put a Negler 31 on in preparation for the corona. Did film so I could rip it off at the last moment. Also, binoculars and obviously the solar sunglasses. The spot was perfect. Maybe 15 people in the parking lot, all spread out. No annoying carnival music, beautiful mountain views, zero clouds. Although I could see a big cloud coming in from the east and felt bad for those who wound up under it. The eclipse is hard to explain. It felt like someone flipped a light switch off instantly. And I was transported into a dark room. Then the sub became 5 times bigger and just beyond words. I think he meant the sun. Sorry, I guess I should have edited this beforehand. Or maybe it's my spelling error when I transferred across. Such a stark contrast from the slow movement of the partials. And just as I was taking a look at it, I gasped and cried. And man, what a view. I picked up the binoculars and looked through the telescope, but much like Cherry Springs, preferred just naked eye. One thing I kept staring at was a small red flare, maybe a prominence, like at 6 o'clock, a red on cloudy nights. What it was, 3 minutes and 30 seconds went so fast, had to control myself to stop gasping and focus and just take it in. I caught the diamond ring on the way out for a split second, then turned my head away. I am an official eclipse junkie and plan to revolve my travels around them in the future. My wife will enjoy Spain and Australia and Egypt. So that'll be an added bonus to help make her happy. Speaking of Egypt, remind me not to bring my electric car there. The line's on the way home. Well, it's 11:30 and I spent 8 hours driving and was able to listen to 15 of the actual Astronomy podcast. So yeah, thanks for that, Gene. Really nice to hear from you. Maybe I'll just turn it over to Shane to read Neil's note.
Neil says, "Hi, Chris and Shane. I booked a trip to Miramichi from Halifax months ago, knowing I might have to cancel if the weather looked poor. Things didn't look great, but with 72 hours to go, the forecasts improved. Attended an event at the airport with my wife, set up some white light filter scopes, and had another RASC member set up right next to me with a hydrogen alpha scope. Well, lots of interest from the public, especially the contrasting views of the event. The eclipse itself was magnificent. I was blown away by the corona at totality. No great photos, unfortunately, as I haven't developed that side of the hobby yet. It was an unforgettable experience. Still giddy 24 hours later. Cannot wait to chase another one down." Which I think is sort of a theme here, Chris. You know, a lot of these folks, especially, you know, if it's the first time that people were seeing a total eclipse. You know, two things resonate with me is just how much, you know, like how much emotional response there was, and awe at the beauty, and also the instant addiction to total solar eclipses. Like, how many people are planning to, you know, already go to the next one? I think it's awesome.
Chris H wrote to share some photos. Sorry, they aren't the best quality, but my solar filter wasn't on perfect. I think one of my kids banged against it. Anyway, I had the Bosch light beers and the grill going, and the weather was perfect during the whole show. Wish you guys came down, Chris. Yeah, thanks for so much for that, Chris. Put Shane back on to Jamie.
Yeah. So Jamie said, hey, Chris and Shane, I've been listening to the show for a while now. It's my favorite podcast, and look forward to it every week. Yeah,
thanks. Your $5 is in the mail.
Yeah. I thought I would bite the bullet and write in about my solar eclipse story. I live in upstate New York, south of Buffalo. We plan to drive about 2 hours north between Buffalo and Rochester to be right in the path of totality. After about 1 hour of driving, we stopped for food and I rechecked the forecast, specifically astrospheric, which I discovered listening to the show. So thanks.
That's a shame.
And made the choice to turn around and drive to Presque Isle State Park in Erie, PA, now almost a 3 hour drive. We got there at about 10 a.m. in the rain, or 10:30 a.m. in the rain. We set up on the shore and eventually the rain subsided. About 1:30 or 1:45 p.m., the clouds cleared and stayed pretty much out of the way until totality had ended. We couldn't have asked for a better day. This was my second eclipse, and we are already planning to head to Grasslands National Park in Canada. Chris, I think you and I are somewhat familiar with that place.
Mm-hmm.
For the 2044 eclipse. So yeah, in 20 years, you and I are well located for a total eclipse.
Awesome.
So he said he will try to attach some photos. He did some time-lapse work with his new C-Star 50.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. I watched that. Did you watch it?
No, I missed that, actually. I'll have to go back and have a look.
But, yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, he does that.
You had to download it. Yeah, so I had to, yeah. You just download it to your machine. Yeah. I have a machine dedicated for this podcast almost now, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. So he says, keep up the good work. Thanks, and clear skies.
Thanks, Jamie. Tim sent us a great observing report. April 8th, 2024, the day of Black Sun. I got up early. The car had been packed and loaded the night before. My wife and I hit the road at 8 a.m., headed for the promised path. 4 hours of sitting in anxiety, triggering traffic. Later, we finally made it to our destination, a wooded area in the hills of southern Missouri, and met up with some friends at their cabin property just in time for first contact of the moon and the sun. It's happening! I had prepared and set up my 15 by 70 binoculars with homemade Bader solar film filters and had my 8-inch daub ready for totality. We were in a nice little clearing in the woods near the top of a hill where the cabin is perched, providing a good enough view to the soon-to-be occulted sun. The first view we got was through the binos. The moon had already taken a small bite out of the sun, and there were a few clear sunspots near the center and limb of the sun around the 10 o'clock position. I would use these next minutes to track and observe the moon's movement across the face of the sun. The next 45 minutes or so were spent lounging in our camp chairs, taking in the partial eclipse through our eclipse glasses and 15 by 70s. 30 to 40 minutes in totality, the moon started covering the first set of sunspots in the center of the sun's face. Not much brightness change yet, but it seemed as though the temperature was starting to drop. 15 minutes to totality, the moon makes contact with the spots on the limb. The brightness in the environment is noticeably dimmer and the colors became desaturated. Temperature is significantly cooler than 10 minutes ago. We're getting close now. Less than 10 minutes, things are getting quiet now. The wasps and bees that have been plaguing us begin to disperse. Birds stop chirping, all headed back to their nests for the coming darkness. Light levels resembling a nearing sunset, and the silence is palpable. The sun through my binos resembling a couple-day-old crescent moon, 2 minutes shadow bands. A small lounge chair cushion on the ground provided a smooth surface for us to watch dozens of shadow lines dance across the ground like snakes. I looked up, and about a fist off the eclipsing sun to the west was a bright point of light, Venus. A similar distance to the east, another small point of light, Mercury, brighter and higher in the sky than had ever been seen before. 30 seconds, 25, 20, the diamond ring appears, an outline of the moon is visible and cast in the white corona of the sun, topped by the final dazzling rays of pure sunlight. 5, 4, 3, 2, glasses off, totality at 1:56 p.m. local time for 3 minutes, 13 seconds, our nearest star provided warmth and light for all the world's inhabitants vanishes.
Replaced by the midnight orb outlined by the faint wispy glow of solar plasma. My brain stopped working. Darkness envelops the hillside and trees and hills block out the atmospheric glow, leaving the sun's corona as the only light source as far as could be seen. The heat and energy normally felt is completely blocked, plummeting the temperature by at least 10 to 15 degrees Fahrenheit from less than an hour ago. Time for the 8-inch daub. I wasn't able to get enough solar filter to make a filter for the scope, but that didn't stop me from observing totality at 31 magnification. I was standing ready next to it when darkness came, dust caps off until it was safe, or took the dust caps off when it was safe. I made a rudimentary soul searcher pinhole finder out of the Telrad from a couple pieces of cardboard leading up to totality, and that was extremely useful. When the moment arrived, I threw the dust caps aside and was able to see Billy beads fade from view. What I saw next left me speechless. This was the first real solar observing I've ever done, apart from quick peeks through both white light and hydrogen alpha telescopes belonging to club members. But I enjoy hearing Shane talk about all of this stuff in the actual Astronomy podcast. What I never expected to see during the eclipse were the freaking prominences, bright pink against the black and white of the moon and corona. I can only assume this was possible because the amount of bright light being blocked by the moon to allow these relatively faint features to be seen. Unbelievable. Now I am a little crazy and I'm probably one of the few people who attempted to sketch this glimpse, but I gave it a go. Admittedly, I cheated a little bit and used a compass to draw out a white circle on black paper beforehand, but the rest would have to be in the moment. Of course, when I said the moment came, having such limited time and a mind of mush, I only had time to scratch a few prominence points and major features and snap a cell phone shot through the eyepiece for later use. The remaining 2 minutes were spent just gazing in awe, both naked eye and through the scope, and enjoying the moment with my spouse. After a little over 3 minutes while looking through the eyepiece, I could see one side begin into brightness. Totality was at an end. I instantly pulled my eye away before the, things get too bright. In the sky had returned to the diamond ring, and deep twilight retreated to royal blue. Once again, glasses going back on, we see the crescent sun peeking around the moon exactly opposite from where it was just 3.5 minutes prior. So filled with elation from this cosmic impact, I kiss my wife and fall back onto the grass, unable to hold my body upright due to excitement and joy. Truly an indescribable experience. When I picked myself up, I went and looked at the 15 by 70 binoculars and continued to enjoy the partial eclipse phase. We stayed and watched everything, and apart from the details and the sequence of events and my immediate reactions, I really can't express how truly awesome an occurrence this was. My eclipse story ends here. I've attached a few photos and hope you enjoy them. I'm hoping to hear many other great stories from other listeners. This is Tim from St. Louis signing off. The best kind of beer to have while observing the eclipse is Fitz root beer, a local delicacy. Thanks for that, Tim.
Yeah, that's a great report. Really appreciate that one, Tim. Really enjoyed reading that.
Chris from City Light Books, and in his report from Silva, North Carolina. Do you want to go ahead with that one?
Yeah, he said, "Hey guys, did your beer pairing work okay with the penumbral outskirts of Saskatchewan?" Or in the penumbral outskirts. I'm sure you've been inundated with accounts from the total solar eclipse, but I thought I'd send you my submission to the Astronomy Club of Asheville's Outreach Report. After a week of obsessing over the evolving weather models, my partner and I scrapped our original plan to travel to Hot Springs, AR. Where would that
Arkansas.
Be? Arkansas, yeah. For the solar eclipse. We also nixed Rochester, New York, forecast deteriorating, and Vermont. It was too long of a drive there. Deciding instead to point the truck towards Cape Girardeau on Saturday morning. While en route, we reserved a spot at the Dog Woods Campground, a few miles west of Glen Allen, Missouri.
I'm sure that spelling is correct, too. I'm sure that's exactly how they spell it. Dawgwoodz.
Yeah, I believe it. With non-existent cell service in that part of the Ozarks and the Wi-Fi down at the campground, we spent a rainy Sunday searching for connectivity and scouting alternative observing sites to our south. Monday dawned clear, and the camp Wi-Fi was back in gear, enabling us to get good short-term read on the weather. Four models converged, calling for cloudless skies overhead at 2 p.m. So I opted not to venture out on the roads and set up my Celestron 6SE Nexstar near the pool where the folks would gather for the big event. A guy named Dan remembered his colander and white poster board, two items I'd forgotten in the rush to depart North Carolina. Three other campers set up to capture images with telephoto lenses. Having been clouded out at home in 2017, I was determined to make 2024 a visual observing experience and avoid getting too wrapped up in the tech during my first and possibly last dance under unobstructed totality. With the 6SE tracking safely filtered and a low power eyepiece in the diagonal, around 15 folks stopped by to catch telescopic views of the initial partial phases. I stayed very busy answering questions as the crowd grew to approximately 75. By 1:30 p.m., the temperature dropped, the light became otherworldly, and everyone's anticipation waxed. Shortly before totality, Venus and Jupiter popped into view. Totality began with a dazzling display of Bailey's, or totality began with a dazzling display of Bailey's beads, and the crowd went wild. I removed the white light filter from the 6SE and quickly observed the silhouetted disk of the moon and a huge orange prominence set against a shimmering corona. Wow. I may have lost my.
Interesting. He saw it as orange, but a lot of the other people saw it as pink.
Yeah, that is an interesting note. He says, I may have lost my mind for a spell at this point, but I had a 3 minute, 45 second audible timer going as a steady queue of attendees took turns enjoying the unfiltered 40 times view or 47 times view. I took about half a minute with my 8x56 binos to sweep the area where P12 Pons Brooks was lurking, but I could not detect it in the sky that only darkened to nautical dusk. Turning back to the truly awesome sight, I gathered my wits and soaked in the visible details of the sun's corona and chromosphere. The 360-degree sunset brightened to blue in the southwest, and I snapped the filter back in place about 15 seconds before the third contact. Many campers had returned to mundane life, and the crowd thinned quickly, but I was able to compare notes and gush with a number of people who lingered throughout the latter partial phases. The imagers continued to grab occasional lights for their sequence composites. I returned to the eyepiece a few times as a large group of sunspots reappeared, and finally, fourth contact marked the end of the show. Dan said he saw a bat flying around during totality, but allowed that he'd forgotten to look for shadow bands on his poster board. I could certainly relate. Those minutes leading up to totality felt like riding an open boat over the tip or over the lip of a waterfall. For readers who wish to continue the journey, I have two recommendations. David Baron's American Eclipse, a nation's race to catch the shadow of the moon and win the glory of the world. And then his second book recommendation is Annie Dillard's Total Eclipse, which is the first essay in her collection, Teaching a Stone to Talk. Clear skies from Chris.
Thanks, Chris. I always
Yeah, that
enjoy
was
chatting
awesome.
with you. Yeah, email from Tyler there in Northwest Arkansas. A lot of these people are longtime listeners, eh? Very cool to get so many reports from people. I know we chatted to Tyler for a long time. Tyler writes, Dear Chris and Shane, I'm excited to share with you and listeners how the moon and stars align, both literally and figuratively, for me to see the April 2024 solar eclipse. As eclipse day approached with a two-year-old and very pregnant wife in tow, the half-day drive from my home in Northwest Arkansas to the path of totality felt insurmountable. But when baby came 2 weeks early, my wife and I decided that our family of four would make the attempt. This is crazy. At first point, the hotel and vacation rental markets were stripped clean, and we had to get creative. The preparation itself was a roller coaster of emotions as potential plans materialized, faltered, and crumbled. Some generous friends just outside the path of totality came to our rescue by inviting us to stay with them. We decided it would be easiest for our family to do as a day trip. In order to avoid the traffic, we left at 4:30 in the morning, just after baby's second breakfast. We arrived at our friend's house just in time to see dawn brightening in the east. After a morning nap, two snacks, eight diaper changes, we hit the road again to get to the path of totality. Some friends of friends deep in the path gave us a place to hang out for the day with a beautiful porch, huge lawn, and a cat so friendly he made two separate attempts to stow away in our car. I'm not sure how much my 2-year-old understood about the eclipse, but the cat made the day for him. I think that's amazing. First contact was harder to discern than expected, but as the eclipse wore on, we noticed an eerie feeling in the air. We enjoyed a leisurely picnic lunch, periodically checking in on the sun and watching the conditions around us change. The sunlight was just as bright as it should be, given the minimal cloud in the sky and the crispness of the shadows. The strange light reminded my wife of the feeling in the air before a tornado. With around 10 minutes to go, the wind changed, the temperature started dropping, and we knew we were in for a show. As totality neared, we hurriedly loaded toys, children, and picnic gear into the car, getting ready for a fast getaway after totality. I feel a thrill of euphoria as the last twinkles of sunlight dance across the land. Bailey speeds are subtle yet surprisingly dynamic. The light jumps quickly across the rough edge of the moon until the last point of light is gone. I remove my solar glasses and I'm greeted by a brilliant diamond ring. Soon the corona emerges, white, feathery, pink prominences peeking out from behind the moon silhouette at 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock. A pair of Zeiss 8x42 binoculars provide a closer look through, though prominences are obvious even without optics. The electric pink coloration of the prominences contrasts strongly with the monochromatic black and white of the moon and corona. The sight is so breathtaking, I only barely remember to take my eyes away and look around. When I do, I see that in just minutes, the entire world has been plunged from noonday into deep purple twilight. Crickets chirp, Jupiter and Venus shine bright and clear, and the horizon is ringed in yellow. For those 2 minutes of totality, time itself is broken. Then, with a flash and second diamond ring of the day, the morning rushed to reassert its supremacy over the ultimate night. The hills in the southwest brightened slightly before our valley, and we could both see and feel the fast dawning. We again donned our eclipse glasses as the crescent sun emerged, growing quickly. As much as we were tempted to linger and watch, we knew that this was our time for decisive action. As soon as the darkness faded, we jumped in the car, racing traffic incalculable and meltdowns innumerable. Less than 90 seconds after the end of totality, we were bumping quickly down a dirt, dusty road, watching the strange flat light gradually brighten as we wound our way towards home. My face hurt from smiling. I could not stop gushing about the experience for the entire drive. Thankfully, our gamble had paid off, and the entire trip home was barely a slowdown. A day later, with everyone tucked into bed, I still can't stop smiling. As an avid collector of astronomical observations, I treasure what I saw this week as a highlight of my collection, Tyler. I think he deserves some sort of special award for getting his very recently grown family all bundled together and out to make an observation, Shane. That's a pretty remarkable thing.
Yeah, very dedicated. I certainly respect that. That's awesome. And glad they were able to experience it. Sounds like a great time.
I'm thinking we're kind of getting on here, but do you want to read? I feel like we should read Mike Rector's. Do you want to
Yeah.
read? Because Mike Rector's our old friend there.
Yeah. Mike was one of our early live guests that we had
I
on
think he was
the
one of
episode.
our first guests. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kathleen was
So,
our first, but I think he was like our second or third or something. Yeah.
yeah. So Mike says, "Hey, Chris and Shane, long time no chat, but I wanted to send you an email about my first total solar eclipse. I remember seeing an eclipse in May 1994 in 5th grade. We made pinhole viewers out of shoeboxes and went onto the roof of the school to see it. For some reason, I remember that being a total eclipse. For some reason, I remember that being a total solar eclipse, but didn't remember ever looking directly at it without the viewer. Come to find out that it was an annular eclipse, which is probably why we didn't observe it directly. Then, of course, there was the total solar eclipse in the US in 2017, which I only had the chance to see a partial since I didn't travel for it. Then we have the total solar eclipse of April 8th, 2024, which is my first one. I set up my 6-inch Newtonian reflector scope on my EQ mount and used a glass solar filter. I had my scope set up a week prior and all aligned and kept it covered with my Telegizmo 365 all-weather cover. I uncovered the scope about 2 hours before the eclipse started and aimed the scope at the sun to make sure everything was good to go and the alignment was accurate. Also had to be sure to set the mount to track the sun. Now I've seen partial eclipses a few times in my life, so watching that was familiar. I spent some time observing the sun through the eyepiece and through eclipse glasses while hanging out in the yard. As the sun got about 3/4 covered by the moon, I started to notice a difference in lighting and a slight chill in the air. Chris, Shane, and listeners, I will say that no amount of seeing pictures of a total eclipse or hearing people describe a total eclipse will prepare you for the amazing beauty of an actual total solar eclipse. Like everything else, pictures just don't do it justice. I was absolutely blown away by the most spectacular view I've ever had. I hear people at the beach in Plattsburgh cheering as totality happened. And even in the yard by myself, I was hooting and hollering when the sky went dark and the temperature dropped around 10 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm sure everyone that listens to this podcast has heard someone say, if this is your first eclipse, you just enjoy it. Don't worry about taking pictures. I will say that is absolutely the best idea, because even with 3 minutes and 34 seconds of totality, it felt like it was over in the blink of an eye. I'm having a hard time putting into words just how awe-inspiring this experience was. I'm sure I've annoyed plenty of people I know by talking about it nonstop. You know, Chris, one of the things too that I've replied to a number of listeners that sent us reports is I don't think there are words to describe it. It's just, it's the most astonishing beauty, you know, I think that you can see. And mm-hmm. I just don't believe words exist to really describe it accurately.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike goes on to say, just as a final note, it is a good idea to not take pictures for your first eclipse, because if you spend all of your time fiddling with camera settings, instead of looking up, the eclipse will be over and you will regret not seeing it with your own eyes. With that said, right before totality, I attached my phone with a bracket to the eyepiece, used a Celestron XYZ phone bracket, and as soon as totality hit, I immediately took off the solar filter and clicked the shutter button on my phone a bunch of times. And then quickly took it off the eyepiece so I could take in the view with my own eyes. After staring at the eclipse for about a minute, I thought maybe I should try and do a sketch. As soon as I grabbed my notebook, I realized that probably isn't the smartest idea. So I put it down and went back and forth between looking at the sun with my unaided eye and through the eyepiece. Honestly, I was shocked that I could see prominences along the limb of the sun and didn't even need a telescope to see them. I always thought that pictures showing that came from a dedicated solar telescope. Now that I've witnessed a total solar eclipse, I completely understand why people will travel around the world to see totality. I'm actually starting to consider making plans for 2026, but no promises that I'll actually make that trip. Total eclipses are very addicting, so keep that in mind if you've never seen one and plan on experiencing it, which I highly recommend seeing at least one in your lifetime. I've attached a couple of photos that I took with my phone and a few shots I took with my drone of the Plattsburgh City Beach about an hour before the eclipse started. Feel free to share the images on your webpage or wherever you'd like. Keep up the great work with the podcast and wishing you both clear skies, more clear skies than you know what to do with, from Mike. So thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike. I thought it was really neat. His house was just pretty much on the center line there. He got all but maybe a second or two of the totality that was available. How that was pretty neat. And then he just flew a drone from his house and showing all this traffic. I had to ask him about it because I was like a bit confused. But yeah, he was basically on the line. That's pretty cool, eh?
That's the best way to observe a total eclipse, man. Is to, you know, relocate so you're living on the line of totality.
Yeah.
Not that Mike had to relocate. He just was fortunate, but yeah, that's awesome.
We don't know that. He might have moved there for that. I think we're getting on there. I know you have to go, but we'll read the others maybe in the next show if people send in more. We got ones from Ron and Will and Mike and Michael and Adam and Jake, and I'm missing a few there too. I think we had quite a few other emails come in, probably almost another whole show's worth. So yeah, keep sending them in. Happy to hear them. Happy to see any sketches. I think 4 people sent us sketches of them. So that's really awesome. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Really appreciate this. And a total eclipse is certainly a special event. So I really enjoy reading about people's successes and some of the challenges that people had to overcome, you know, driving or, you know, or some sort of travel to get to a destination where they were able to see it. So definitely keep sending them if you haven't.
You know what else is a special event?
Tell me.
Is that this, I think this Friday or Saturday, this will be our... That will conclude 4 years of us doing this podcast.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The birthday of actual astronomy.
Cool. Yeah. It would be just learning to talk and walk and getting ready to go to school the following year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's kind of weird to think we've been doing this for 4 years, man.
Yeah. Well, still feels good. I like
it. Yeah. 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 Pretty wild. So thanks everybody for listening and for all your support over the years now, which seems mm-hmm. like a strange thing to say. I keep always wanting to put like 100, like this, these are episodes 100 and 417 and 418. I always put like 117. No, we couldn't have done 400 in my mind. But yet here we are. We have done hundreds of shows. Well, 400 shows seems ridiculous, but that's the way it is, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Looking forward to another 418 with you, Shane.
Me too, Chris. We'll just keep plugging away.
Keep plugging away. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be sure to send us your observation show ideas, other notes to actualastronomy@gmail.com.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show. If you are interested in more information, would like to contact us, or if you would like to support the podcast, check out our website, actualastronomy.com.